Oh my gosh, it's so good. You know, every time I'm in a prison visiting someone like that, I always think, you know, me on my worst day could do something that would get me in there. You know, like any of us catch us in the wrong day doing the wrong thing. And what hits me is the topic I'm going to look at tonight too is it's just the grace of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and the healing nature of God, which we're going to see if maybe you get a dose of that today. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I want everyone, no matter what site we're in, no matter what coffee shop, bar we're in, house we're in, wherever we are, to get a taste of your goodness, of your healing, and of your grace. Help me to be clear, to be compelling, and to be accurate. And God, thank you for being such a God that's so transcendent and so beyond that it's hard to even describe your character and who you are. Help us to grasp it and just maybe get healed today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Man. So grace, what is grace? Grace is one of those words that very few people understand. Grace is not the prayer that you say before a meal, although you may call that grace. That's not the kind of grace I'm talking about here today. Grace is not the way you move with style and grace across a dance floor, though you might be graceful, but that's not the kind of grace I'm talking about. I'm also not talking about grace periods. You know, if you've got a credit card, if you've got a house payment, if you've got a home equity credit line, just about everybody has a grace period. I'm not talking about that because that's really not grace. That's just a delaying judgment period is what that is. You know, you have a period of time where if you don't get your payment in, they're not going to turn you into the bad credit bureau or you're not going to, you know, get punished too much, but interest is still accumulating. And if you don't pay it off at the end of that, boom, you know, you're done. Bad stuff happens. No, grace is this amazing gift from God that we don't earn, we can't understand, and is generous and is overflowing. Maybe the most potent message in the Bible or the most potent verse in the Bible that goes beyond the fake or the real news. Fake or real news comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. News. News that is good is called gospel. Gospel is a word that's in the Bible, but it actually wasn't invented in the Bible. The word gospel is an ancient term, exists for a long, long time. It just meant good news. So for instance, at the Battle of Sardis, the Battle of Marathon, when Greece won that battle, there was a messenger who was going to bring good news. He was known as an evangelist, somebody who brings good news. He ran 26.2 miles back to the Greece council and proclaimed, "We have won, we have won." And then he fell over dead. And that's the beginning of the marathon, the very first marathon. But he came and he proclaimed what was known as gospel. Good news, Greece has prevailed, we have won. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, good news. There's a God who loves you that's beyond you. There's a God who can forgive all of your pains for all of your sinfulness, all of your mistakes. There's a God who is for you and has abundant treasures for you. This is good news. Let's read about it in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It's a bit long. I think I'm going to go about for 10 verses here or so. But let me just read this and then explain it to you. Here's what it says. Chapter 2, verse 1. Here it goes. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace," there's the word, "by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace. in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is horse choking. It's a lot. This is, if you need 12 verses to understand the good news and get into the depths of it, this is probably the best 12 verses in the Bible, in my opinion. Let's just take a look at it. First of all, he says, all of us, here's the news, in our natural selves, we are dead in our trespasses. Dead. None of us like to hear that. We go, I'm a very nice spiritual person. Well, maybe you are, but naturally, in and of yourself, you're dead in your trespasses. Our sinfulness separates us from God. That may be why we have as many maladies as we do. And it's not just you, it's not just me, it's everybody, because we're following the course of this world. It's the course of the world to go away from God. It's the course of the world to denigrate ourselves and others and be about ourselves. And it's not by accident either, because in the world, and there's an actual organizing principle behind it. We have the prince of the power of air. This means that, and by the way, I'm not expecting you to believe all of this right now. Some of it sounds really weird and really crazy, but let me just ask you this. Wouldn't it make sense, with all the problems we have, with all the illnesses we have, with all the mental health, with all the anger we have, with all the angst, with all the lack of peace, wouldn't it make sense that there is a spiritual organization that's behind it all? The Bible says that there is. It's called demons. It's called principalities, powers. They're in the CEO. His name is Satan or Lucifer. And we can't see these, but we can see the effect of him. The prince, the power of the air. And we are by nature children of wrath. And here's the thing. Here's the best little but you've ever seen, right here. Verse number 4, But, all of this is true, but God. We sit in the bad news, we sit in the way that we are natural, and then it comes, but God. What about God? Well, he's rich in mercy. Rich, because of the great love that he has, with which he's loved us. Even though we're sons and daughters of disobedience, even though we're outside his plan and doing our own thing and dead in our trespasses, he loved us. Why? Because it's grace. It's grace that's caused us to sit with him, because he has immeasurable riches of his grace. God's always got more for you. He's got more love for you. He's got more forgiveness for you. He's got more mercy for you. It's immeasurable. Some of us don't go before God because we're trying to meter it out and just save it. Well, I can't ask for too much stuff because I got to save it for later on. I gotta be so God's going, oh man, here's my man Ron. My man Ron's praying to me. Woo! I better listen, because Ron never prays to me. That's like thinking you're assuming the fake news that God is limited and God is annoyed by you. No, he loves you. And he doesn't lack resources, immeasurable. He might not give you and I, he doesn't give you and I all that we ask. But it's not because he lacks the resources, immeasurable resources, for by grace we've been saved. Not our own efforts. That's the fake news. It's the false news. Your own efforts, your morality, your spirituality. See, this passage lines up the difference between death and life. The whole first half is death. This is spiritual death. And I'm not talking here about when your heart expires at the end of your life, death. I'm not even talking about death like eternally speaking. I'm talking about death that comes to us with all of our issues, with all of our stress points, with all of our neuroses, with all of our fears, with all of our anxieties, with all of our divorces, with all of our battles, with all of our cynicism, with all of our skepticism, with all of our disjointedness, just the whole cacophony of sounds and discord that we have in our culture. It's a sign of the death that's described. And if you want it, you can step into the life that comes but God. You can step into that. I wonder today, how many of us want to step into something different? How many of us want to have something different? How many of us want a healing? Now, I'm not just talking about a physical healing, though that happens. I'm also talking about a spiritual healing. I'm talking about a relational healing. I'm talking about a mental healing. I'm talking about an emotional healing. Jesus is known as a savior. He comes to save. He's also known as healer. And he heals all of those things. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I don't know who you are, but I promise you, you need healed. I promise you, because our natural self is still broken to this day. All of us need healing. And those of us who don't think that we do, it's a sign that we're actually spiritually dead. We haven't come up to the butt God yet. We haven't come up to him yet because we're deluding ourselves with our perceived grandeur and goodness and spirituality. All of us need some form of spiritual healing or physical healing. And both require two things. They require asking and they require acting. Asking and acting. Now, when we talk about grace, if you've been around church for some bit of time, you've come across some preacher who's given you the perfect acronym for what grace is. And I think it's a good one. Grace is, say it with me if you know it, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. I think it's accurate. That's true. I mean, Jesus does things for us that we can't do on our own. And the funnel comes through Jesus' life and death. God's riches for us, immeasurable riches, at the expense of Christ. But I think that also is needy of a bit more explanation. Grace can also be seen as anything God can do that I can't do. Anything God has that I don't have. Anything that God can resource that I can't resource. Anything God can love that I can't love. Anything God can do, anything that I don't have the powers in and of myself. Now, there is a grace that comes to us that we will not work for. A lot of grace. In fact, grace comes to people who are atheists and agnostics and maybe so very bitter towards God. But God still, as the Bible says, caused the sun to rise and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. This is grace. So God will give you grace, some form of grace, no matter what you do. And if you want a sort of healing grace, if you want to increase the likelihood of you getting healed, of your heart getting healed, of your marriage getting healed, of your relationship with your kids getting healed, of your relationship with your best friend getting healed, of your memories of what happened to you when you were 6 years old and you can't stop thinking about it, if you want that to be healed. If you want to be healed, the pains that people don't have solutions towards, you need to look for a grace, a healing grace that's beyond human understanding. Now, book of John chapter 5, you're going, hey, Brian, you're going for a while here, and you haven't even given us any points yet. I know. I'm going to give you three pretty quick points. I just got to hit this from so many different angles that there is a God who wants to heal you, any kind of healing, and you got to get on the right path. You got to adhere to the real news, not the fake news of this bland spirituality that God helps those who help themselves, or God is far and removed. He doesn't really care about little people like you and I. No, that's not true. He's got a measurable grace for you. We have to get this solidified until I give you three action points. But let me share this. In the book of John chapter 5, we see one of Jesus' amazing healings that he does. He does a bunch of healings. They're all really powerful. This one, I just continue to be stunned by and challenge myself with. Here's what it says in John chapter 5, verse 5 and following. By the way, before I get here, okay, here's the background. I've been to this place a bunch of times in Israel. You can go to this place. And it's a pool. It's called the Pool of Bethesda. And in this pool, and it's still there, they've excavated it down, oh, I don't know, 30 feet. You can crawl down. You can actually get to the water, the original water level, at least where this was in Jesus' time. They've built it up over the centuries and all that sort of stuff. But as the story goes, as they believed, there would be paralyzed and blind and people who need physical healing all around this thing. And then every once in a while, the water would bubble and stir, and they believed that it was an angel that was coming down and stirring the water, and they believed that the first man in got healed. And so all these people would hang around the outside. Now, I do believe in angels. I do believe in demons. I do believe in all that. I'm not sure that this was going on. This is what they believed. They believed an angel did that. Maybe, maybe not. Most likely it was an underwater spring that out of nowhere every once in a while would bubble up and people would say, oh, it's an angel, it's an angel. And maybe at some point someone fell in accidentally and said they got healed. We don't know that, but what we do know is there are a bunch of people around this thing wanting healing, and Jesus decides to go to this place. Maybe he goes to this place because he knows there's people there who are hungry and want it. I should stop here right now. You could sit here and listen to everything else I have to say from here on in, and you can look at this as an academic exercise of, do I believe this? Is he crazy? This is weird. How's he parsing these verses? Is he some weird snake handle up there? Is he there? You could do all those, and there's a time and a place to ask yourself all those questions. There really is. But if your mind is just going to be on that versus this, which is what you should be, you have no chance of healing. And where your mind should be right now is, do I want healed? Do I want healed? Do I have any level of belief that today I could get healed? Today. Jesus talks about having faith like a mustard seed. Do I have a smidgen of belief that maybe just today I might get healed? Maybe Jesus goes to this place because there's people there who have a smidgen of belief, even if it may be misplaced, that they very well could get a healing. And here's what it says. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. I love that word, like invalid. I don't know, that's probably not politically correct, invalid. It's like you and I being invalid. Some of us actually, it's one of the ways that we need to heal. We feel invalid. You feel like you're not necessary before God. You feel like you're not valued. You feel like your life has no meaning whatsoever, that you're just a peon, a pawn. There's no special love that God has for you. Let me tell you what, you need a healing. You need a healing, not in your self-esteem, though that would be good too. You need a healing in the understanding of your worth before God. You are not invalid. You are not. You are a child of God, whether you're walking in it or not. Let's keep going. Invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." So it's like, I mean, he's lame, he can't walk, so maybe he just has himself by the edge and he's going to try to roll in. But somebody who needs, you know, their arm healed, they can do a full-out sprint. And they keep beating him. That's what he's saying here. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, this is a guy who, at the beginning of which, has all kind of excuses. "I can't do it. Someone else beats me down. I got this. I got that. I can't." He's got all these reasons for why he can't do it. Why he can't make it in. It's not going to happen for him that day. And Jesus maybe is trying to see, are you just a victim? Always looking for reasons why God may not move in your life? And he just asks him a question that seemingly is innocent, but at the same time, very insensitive. Do you want to be healed? It's the same question God would ask you right now. Do you want to be healed? Some time ago, I was at a wedding, and I was at this table, and this woman who I knew was starting to tell me about her story, and And she started about just the pain she had experienced in her family of origin and going on and on about these things. My heart started to go out towards her. I thought, oh man, this is horrible what's happened. And then the more she talked, the more I noticed that there was a cadence, almost like she had rehearsed this. Like the words flowed really, really well. And I realized she's not just sharing with me for the first time. This is a part of her story. This is like her identity. This is who she is. And she actually rehearses this with people pretty often. That's what we do, some of us who don't want healing. We just want to take this on as our identity. When I say, do you want healed? A lot of us that just don't want to be healed. We are very happy with where we are right now. Very, very happy. We're like a little toddler who's not potty trained yet and sits in his poop all day. We're like, well, it stinks, but it's warm and at least it's mine. Our pains, our trauma, I say like this, our trauma, because you know, trauma used to be reserved for people who went to the military and lost their legs. Now, if I got something I can't get over, it's called trauma, and maybe it is. I'm not going to fight over the word at all, but here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. Do you have the hope and expectation you can be healed and move beyond that, or is that your troll? See, if you don't want to get healed, then you actually like the pain you have. You couldn't separate yourself from pain. It's like a little troll who's smelly and stinky, but he's your little toy, and you pet him, and you pull him out of my own little troll. I will love him and hold him and tell him my own pet little troll, my own pet little pain, my own pet little trauma. And you have to make the decision whether or not you want to get rid of that guy. A lot of us, truth be told, we don't, because it's a source of warmth for us. It's kind of who we are. And so as this woman was going on, talking about her thing, going on for a while, I just read this verse, I think earlier in the day or at some point recently, I was marinating on my mind, and I said to her, do you want to be healed? In fact, another translation says what I actually said to her, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And she stopped and she was just like conflicting me, confused. I said, do you want to get to another place? And she said, you offended me. You offended me. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. I was just wondering, and I tried to explain what I meant. And she said, you offended me. I said, okay, I'm really sorry. You offended me. You offended me. You offended me. You offended me. And basically what she was saying was, no, I don't want to be well. No, I don't want to be healed. Friends, you have to be very honest with this, because Jesus asked this question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be over your alcoholism? Do you want to be over your bitterness? Do you want to be over your substance abuse? Do you want to be over your ex? Do you want to be over the bitterness you have towards God because X wasn't given to you by God? Do you want to be over the pains of your childhood? Do you want to be healed? I hope so, because if you don't, you have no hope. Boy, that sounds really ugly and dark to say. But if Jesus didn't see some look in this guy's eyes, like, yeah, I do, he wouldn't have gone. He needs to know, do you want healed? In the New Yorker recently, they said the trauma has become synonymous with backstory, but the tyranny of backstory is itself a relatively recent phenomenon, meaning it's now our identity. And this guy answers his question with his eyes, yes, I do, he must have. Because Jesus looks at him and says, rise, take up your pallet, take up your mat, and walk. So how do you get well? How do you get healed? Whatever it is. Three things. Number one, name your problem. Name it. Name your problem. One time Jesus says to a guy, he says, what is it you want me to do for you? He wants to hear him name, I want my sight restored. Or other reasons he did, but name it. I'm not saying you have to go like, okay, yeah, I generally believe I need healing. What is it you need healing for? Name it right now. Call it out. Put a name on it. All of us, again, need healing in some form or fashion. All of us are broken. I am an unbelievably selfish person. I have an unbelievably self-centered person that I'm managing it well, I'm gradually getting better, and I do a really good job enabling other people to think I'm not as self-centered as I am. I need healing in that area. I'll give you stuff over the last 3 days. First, I had a person who wanted me to hang a shelf for him, and I decided to do it, and I just had a bad attitude the whole time. It was horrible. Like, and I didn't have the right tools. And why, how come the person was over here before didn't do it? And I knew as I was thinking about this, I'm going, this should not be bothering me as much as this does. I know how to do this stuff, and I can probably do it twice as fast as most people. But yet I was, And then the other day, you know, we had the big snowstorm, Snowmageddon. Snowmageddon came in, an Arctic blast came up. You know, all these phrases that Kroger pays the local news people to use so that we buy more eggs and milk and batteries when we haven't even touched our batteries from three Snowmageddons ago, you know. I went down to our neighborhood. We have to drop our garbage off into a dumpster, and went down, and you got to open up these, like, this wooden gate thing, and there's very, very clear, like, here, no parking. Arrow over here. Very, very clear. No parking. Arrow over here. Between this spot, no parking. Because you got to open up the thing to go in there and do the deal, right? Of course, I got all my garbage. I got to go. I'm like, take that door. And I'm just jamming up against that bumper a couple times. I looked at it. Yeah, it didn't scratch it good, but felt good doing it anyway. I'm going, why did I feel a need to do that? Like, I'm really angry at somebody who isn't in our neighborhood and just thought the rules didn't apply to them, or maybe they didn't see the signs, right? Yeah, bothers me more than it should, way more than it should. Name your problems. What are your problems? And I'm not just talking about physical stuff here, I'm talking about all stuff. I'm not talking about just emotional, spiritual stuff. I'm talking about all stuff, including physical stuff. America's chronic pain is off the charts. I don't think we've ever had a culture that has more chronic physical pain than now. Now, I haven't lived all that much longer than a lot of us. I've only been around for 59 years, but it just seems that there hasn't been as much chronic pain as there is right now. The Washington Post says this, just over 24% of survey respondents said they experience chronic pain either most days or every day, the CDC says, Center for Disease Control, and nearly 9% of adults had high-impact chronic pain in the previous 3 months. Pain, massive pain. We have to name our problem. We have to name what it is. One of my physical pains is I've had chronic tennis elbow for over a year now. And I never even play tennis. I don't even play wussy ball, or I mean pickleball. I don't even do that. Pickleball, you know, the people who play a lot of pickleball, they're too lazy even to say ball. They just call it pickle. Come on, just say the whole thing. I think pickleball is great. It's wonderful. Maybe I'll do it someday. I've done it before. It's a very, very, very fun game. But anyway, all I'm saying, I'm not doing that, but for however reason, it's there. And I've just, it's bothering me. And I realize that I've just been sitting around waiting for it to magically get better. I actually put on the Crossroads app, had people pray for me. I probably had hundreds, thousands of people. I don't know, a lot of people praying for me. Just thinking that's good enough. But no, it's not. You got to do the second thing. And that is, you have to step toward healing. Step toward healing. Go to a new place. Do something different. Jesus has 41 healings that I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 41. 34 of them happen only when someone moves towards him and asks, or a friend does. Of the remaining seven, as I count, about five of them, he doesn't heal somebody unless they still go do something, like go wash their mud off with face, wash their face off of the mud that he put there down a little pool and do that. Just just this morning, reading in my Bible reading plan, in Matthew 9, five things in a row, boom. Paralyzed guy brought by his friends when Jesus saw his faith. Political ruler asking for a healing for his dead daughter. A woman who's menstruating for 12 years, who reaches over and basically dives and touches the hem of his garment. And he stops and says, "Who touched me?" And a mute man who's brought by friends. Boom, 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 boom. He's looking to see who wants it. He's looking to see who has enough faith to move and to act and step toward healing. So I was wrestling with this. I was like, gosh, you know, I've just been sitting around just hoping and expecting some miracle or just suck it up the rest of my life. And I could be either. I could suck it up the rest of my life and God could heal me. And I could go to YouTube and I could research what people do to get over tennis elbow. Yeah, these basic exercises. My gosh, I did it for one day. I was 20% better. Like 20% better after one day of like doing this stuff and soup can and crazy. A lot of us, we want healing, but we don't want to do anything. We don't want to go to anyone. We don't want to ask for anybody's help. Hey, you are a chosen child of God. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, if you receive, if you haven't done that, this is a great day to start. It's a great day to get more grace. That is your identity, okay? Your identity is not where you went to school. It's so weird. I'm in Cincinnati. Let me tell you, those of you who aren't in Cincinnati, Cincinnati is freaking weird. Like you meet someone at a party, like, "Where'd you go to school?" And you're thinking they're trying to like compare Ivy League degrees or something like that. No, they want to know where you went to high school. Or even worse, grammar school, elementary school. What is wrong with you people? And it's because somewhere along the line they picked up that was their identity. That was in first place, their identity of who they were. One of my trolls that I had around, and if you've been around Crossroads for decades, you know I've talked about stuff in my family of origin, but if you've been around for 5 years, you know I'm not really talking about it anymore. I've got a whole history of things that was bothering me and this. And I realized, Brian, you can't keep reliving this. Even if you think you're over it, just bringing it out and talking about it is you're not walking away from it. You're not moving away. You have to step towards healing. When I step towards Jesus, when I step towards healing, I'm at the same time walking away from the past. When I step towards this speaker, I'm walking away from the chair. If I step towards the table, I'm walking away from the speaker. This is what Philippians 3:13 speaks to. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, if I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to the prize that lies ahead, and I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. I forget what lies behind. Friends, if you want to be healing, you got to press on and you got to put behind the crap people have done to you, the failures you've had, that is behind. And the longer you're going to stay there and look at it, the farther you're going to be away from healing and oneness and a kind of grace that you can't even fathom. Am I ringing anybody's bell? Or do you just want what all the children of wrath do in our culture by that passage? Do you just want to be under the rule and under the minion of the minions of the evil one who's got a structure set up for you and I to be the way we are? It's not by accident that we are all this way. It's not. There's a system at hand. And you have to choose whether or not you want to rebel against that system that does not work and walk towards Jesus and walk away from that system of victimhood, that system of I have no power, that system that says God doesn't care about you, that says he doesn't love you, he says that you're not important, he said he doesn't have time for you, that whole system that says this won't work, that God doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't ask somebody for prayer because it'll never work. And if you want to just stay where you are, that's in 2025. If you want to keep having the things you have, just stay believing the things you're believing. But if you want something different, you're going to have to do something different and you're going to have to think something different. And you have to move into a different place. I interact with people who are divorced all the time and I'm like, gosh, some of them, I said, geez, You were divorced a long time ago. And I know you, your walk with God, you made it right. You had your problems, you had your regrets, and you repented, you asked forgiveness. But why are you still living it? Why are you still beating yourself up over it? Why do you still apologize? You talk about, oh, I've been divorced. Why does your voice go down like this? Why is it gonna, why does shame immediately come? We're talking 20 years ago. Do you not know that you are forgiven? That there is an immeasurable grace, that God doesn't define you that way? We're all broken, but we have to see that Jesus restores and heals, and I have to embrace that identity or keep living the old one. For much of my life, I was a slacker. That's why it took me so long to get my 4-year degree. It's why I just was a slacker for a long, long time. And one of the things that God started changing in me is my work ethic. And that got handled sometime before I came to Crossroads, to start Crossroads. But once I came on, I was for, 20 years in the office, first one in, last one out every day. First one in, last one out. And it wasn't because I was the most productive. It wasn't because there was that much work to do with all the evening meetings. It was because I was trying to prove to myself and to others I'm not a slacker. And what I was saying to myself and to God was, I'm believing that old narrative, I'm not believing you. And in the midst of so much of the stuff I did, I was just punching a card and making myself feel good for how hard it's working. But it wasn't commensurate with fruit. That wasn't happening, but I kept being busy. It was a sign of me not walking away. Third and finally, do something that Jesus does. Do something that Jesus does. It's a sign, it's a signal. In John 5, as the story goes on, there is this guy gets ambushed by all the religious people because he's healed, and they're saying, well, you got healed, this was the Sabbath, that was work, you can't work in the Sabbath, even with something miraculous. They're jealous of Jesus, so they're pouncing on him. Who did this to you? Who broke the rules? All this stuff. And this guy actually makes an incredibly bold statement. Is you can imagine, like, Jesus says, just rise and go. It's like he's got to do something. He rises. Man, my gosh, he's moving. It's amazing. And here's what it says in John 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you're well. You're well. See, you're well. Wouldn't it be great? Jesus says that to you someday. See, you're well. See? You don't think about it anymore, do you? See? That thing isn't bothering you anymore. See? Now, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I too am working. I too am working. What does he do? He starts being like Jesus. He starts telling people. He starts standing up and risking being humiliated and actually killed by saying, I align with that guy. Yes, he's the one who healed me. He does something different. He does something Jesus would do. And this is what Jesus' secret. He says, I always do what my Father's doing. If you want to know how to grow, look and see what Jesus is doing and then go be a part of it. Take on his attitudes. Take on his love. Take on his actions. Take on his faithfulness. Take on his boldness. And when you see it happening, go and be a part of it. We're going to have at all of our sites, we're going to have people come forward who are trained people in prayer, who are prayer ninjas. They love to pray, and they've got a pretty high hit rate on it. And if you want to be healed, if you want to be healed, we had, I don't know if you picked it up last week in that video, we have 200 and some verified medical healings in the last 12 months. You know, the one I talked about, a couple of weeks ago, the guy restoring his saliva. Went another doctor, the doctor's like, geez, another one. The second one did a scope, like, wow, yeah, it's for real. And now he's got a problem, he's got his taste back and he's eating so much, now he's dealing with poop issues because he hasn't had to poop for so long. Now he's like, so he's laughing about it, he says, I'll take these problems, Hey man, let me tell you something. It's real. And I don't mean it's gonna happen to you, it's called a miracle, so it doesn't happen all the time, there's no special formula. But man, I tell you, you gotta want it. Whatever it is, you gotta want it. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get over your bitterness? Do you want to get over your selfishness? Do you want to get over the pain and the heartache and the cancer and the tennis elbow? Do you want to be healed? Well, you're gonna have to take a step forward. You're gonna have to come. You're gonna have to put your back on leaving and come forward and get prayer. All of our sites, come on down. Come on, our prayer people, come forward right now. Come on right now, online. We'll be praying and chatting for you. We have a whole bunch of people who are trained and are really good at it. We'll be praying for you via chat. And let me just pray right now. And then the rest of the time is yours. Come forward and have an opportunity to get healed. Or something else. It's up to you. Lord, I'm thankful that you are a God that's beyond us and is amazing and is a lover of people with immeasurable grace. God, I'm asking for more grace to come on these prayers that are going to be giving. I'm asking for something mysterious and beautiful and powerful to happen that can't be strong-armed. Give these people who are praying wisdom and the grace to be wise and to be potent. And give us the humility as we try to honor you. God, would you show yourself to be a healer this weekend? I pray these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.